And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at Veritas Medical. Check out the website once again, VeritasMedical.com. And let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you had a great weekend, sir.
Yes, I did. We actually got to get out of town with the kiddos and go skiing.
Nice.
It was great.
Nice.
That's all awesome. In one piece.
What is that?
Angel Fire.
Oh, I love it up there.
Yeah.
We go there all the time.
Yeah, they got, I think, about 4 or 5 inches Saturday.
They got a lot of snow up there the last 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it was good.
Good.
Great to be out in God's creation. It was always so peaceful just to be up in the mountains and on that ski lift. It's so quiet and just, it's incredible thinking about just snowflakes. But anyways, I don't want to go off on my stuff too much because we have an amazing guest today, and I want to jump right into that. And before I bring our guest on, I just want to say to the audience out there, you know, it's been 10 years since the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that I was trained in medical school to treat symptoms. Symptom management, and doctors will readily admit this, we're trained to manage asthma, manage hypertension, manage your high blood sugar, manage your aches and pains. And most of that management involves a pharmaceutical, sometimes a surgical procedure. But that's it. That's what we were trained to do. I didn't really have that understanding when I graduated in 2002 from UT Houston. I thought I was a highly trained young doctor who just got taught the best and greatest things to go help save the world. Even though I was born and raised in church with a, you know, a point of view that there's a God, I was trained in education, public education, in this Western culture, really. You don't even have to be in public education, but this Darwinian evolutionary biology mindset. I mean, my freshman year at Baylor, biology, first day of class, freshman biology, he said, you got to believe in evolution if you're going to be a scientist or a doctor. So that thing was just pounded into me for 4 years in college, 4 years in medical school, 3 years of training after that. And just, like I said, our culture in general, you don't have to be in higher education to get that pervasive, just never-ending evolutionary Darwinian, which that was a theory. And that's another thing about medical school. I didn't realize so much of medical school, it was theory. There's this theory that eating saturated fat clogs my arteries and causes heart attacks. That theory's been debunked. There's this theory that genes are the root cause of everything, and now we know, nope, genes are just books on a bookshelf. You can leave them closed and on the bookshelf. You don't have to open them up and read them. Genetic expression is influenced by things outside the genes. This theory on autoimmune disease, where your immune system just goes berserk. You wake up one day after 30 years of your immune system recognizing you, it decides to not recognize you, and it attacks your own tissue, your thyroid, your joints, your colon, your myelin sheath around your nerves. Autoimmune disease theory of just the immune system goes berserk, and that kind of falls in line with the Darwinian evolutionary stuff. If we're just not highly evolved enough, sometimes we'll just, you know, be dysfunctional and our systems go berserk. So, you know, that's where doctors are at, unfortunately. That's what we're trained in, is this natural world only. And symptom management of that natural world. So once God opened my eyes to that, as y'all well know, if you're longtime listeners, the four pillars, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. If you'll steward this physical body and give it what it needs sunlight, it needs movement, it needs hydration, it needs some vitamins and minerals and building blocks. Your cells die every day. You make new ones every day. You got to have raw materials to build those cells. You know, that was awesome when I learned all that, and the patients that would go along with me and implement this knowledge. We saw amazing stuff. Diseases go into remission just from stewarding the natural, mostly diet. So that was 10 years ago, and as we've evolved through the years, you know, I've come to understand now, especially since this past summer, as I've really been pressing into, and everybody knows the peace pillars. You know, it's the most important pillar. I talk about it a lot. People ask me about it a lot. How do you do that? You know, what's that mean? And show me and teach me peace. I need peace. And I've said it many times, peace is a person. It's not a thing. It's not a step one, two, three. But from the standpoint of the peace pillar, I've mostly spoken in terms of the natural. When you're in fight or flight mode, the body, the autonomic nervous system, the autopilot nervous system, shuts certain systems way, way, way down to conserve resources and energy and to move those that energy and resources to other systems. So it'll in fight or flight mode, your body turns down the immune system. It says, I don't need to worry about killing a germ in these 5 minutes I need to fight this mountain lion. So it turns the immune system down. It turns the hormone system down, the thyroid, the testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and shunts it more into adrenaline hormone. And then it shuts down the GI system. Stomach acid production goes down, peristalsis goes down, the gallbladder and pancreas turn down, everything turns down. And that change in pH affects your microbiome significantly. And it shunts that to your nervous system, so and your cardiovascular system. Heart rate goes up, breathing rate goes up, your pupils dilate, your flexor muscles get tense so you can fight or run. So that's all in the physical. And those have devastating consequences. And most of the people that come to our clinic have a complaint in one of those three departments, hormone, GI, or immune, mostly autoimmune. So, you know, it all makes sense to your intellectual mind. If you can draw it out on the whiteboard, explain it all, fight or flight mode, I mean, it's just not compatible with health. So then you got to dig deeper. It's not just stress management. It's truly being at peace. And that's a personal journey everyone's got to take. And so, you know, that's what we've been preaching for a long time. But now there's this other level that I've been pressing into personally over the past many months. And part of this, I think it's was driven by this whole COVID craziness and to see what the world's doing and what these unbelievers are doing, particularly the World Economic Forum and the WHO and all these international multinational pharmaceutical companies and just their mindset that AI's got to come into the picture and we've got to, you know, do these shots that manipulate the DNA and just all this. I mean, they're purely coming at this from a mindset of there's no God and we've got to play God and we're going to start. I mean, it's heavy, heavy stuff if you let it be, but if you have a spiritual mindset on it. So we're going to talk some deeper things today with our guest. And I do want to say for those who I've had people tell me before, hey, on your podcast, when you talk about spiritual stuff, I kind of tune out because I think you're going religious. I'm not talking religion here. And my guest, and going to talk religion, we're talking spiritual. Is there a spiritual realm, a supernatural realm? Is there something more than these physical molecules that you can then see with a microscope and measure with your physical senses? Is there and the scientists that go deep enough into the quantum realm, you know, even the guy that founded string theory, quantum physics string theory, he even came out and said, well, I'm not an atheist anymore. I believe there's a creator because there's amazing design to this thing. So are there laws or principles in this spiritual realm? We understand laws of the physical, natural realm, the law of gravity. If I jump out my balcony at my office, I'm on the second floor, you know, the law of gravity kicks in. It's going to take me to the ground, and I'm probably going to get hurt. And there's, you know, if you've been in an airplane, there's the law of aerodynamics. I turned on my key to my truck this morning to drive to the radio station. There's the law of internal combustion in my engine. So there's obviously natural laws. We all understand them. We live by them. Is there a supernatural realm? Are there principles or laws of the supernatural realm? And if there are, we probably need to study those a little bit because that may impact our physical. And we know this. Biology of Belief, Bruce Lipton, he's been on the show. He's explained the science behind it. Caroline Leaf's been on the show. She's explained the science behind it. There's lots of secular guys out there of the placebo effect. I forget the author of that book. I haven't had him on the show. But there's lots of science pointing to this other realm, how thoughts impact our physiology, our natural, our genes. So anyways, I'm starting to go on my soapbox, and I want to bring in our guest so he can share with us his testimony, some wisdom that he has. And I think it's been 50 years now that since Andrew Womack had an encounter that changed his life forever. So I've asked Andrew Womack to come on the show today. Andrew Womack Ministries, awmi.net is the website. You can read his whole testimony. Andrew and his ministry reaches, I think, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of lives. There's so much great resources on that website, and books and audio and video, and just it's unbelievable. And we're just so honored, Andrew, to have you on the show. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Ben. I've been listening, and I tell you, I just had to refrain myself from saying amen. That is just a powerful introduction you gave. Well, I agree 100%.
Well, thank you. And like I said, thank you for your resources. I've been diving into so many of your books and podcasts, and just there's this other level. And like I kind of alluded to, I grew up in church my whole life. And I want the audience to hear me. I'm not talking bad about church. I'm just saying in my church, at least First Baptist Church, is that I grew up and I didn't learn about the spiritual realm. And it's really my doctrine that's led me, and the Holy Spirit leading, drawing me down this truth path, because bottom line, I want patients to be well and not need a doctor. And there's some deeper truths that I think and I believe will impact health. And Andrew Womack is on the same path. Real quick, Andrew, one of the first things I heard you telling a testimony, or actually the person told the testimony, it was a little girl. I don't know if you I'm sure you do remember this. I think she was in England. She was born with some inability to process food. Her mother's breast milk, any kind of formula. They tried all the different formulas. They were down to trying just amino acids only. And the baby would react to all these different things. React meaning vomit and just colicky and all that. And at her three-year-old checkup, she was the size of a nine-month-old. She just wasn't growing because she couldn't take in any nutrition. And her parents, someone gave them a tape or CD of some of your teachings straight out of Scripture. And these parents brought the little girl to the conference, and you prayed over her, which basically was just, hey, you've already been healed. Now it's just a matter of receiving it. But the little girl woke up from her nap. Her mama said, honey, you've been healed. And the little girl said, great, let's go eat it. Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think it was, or McDonald's.
Yeah. And first food she ever ate, solid food, was Kentucky Fried Chicken, French fries, and ice cream.
And right after...
enough to kill a well person.
Yeah, and right after she said that, the thought that came to me was, Ben, what would you have told that little girl and her parents if they sat on your couch in your office and you know, was a new patient at Veritas? What would you have told them? And, of course, I'd went right through my physical things, how we're going to try to heal your gut with these physical protocols. And the question that came to my mind is, well, if Jesus was sitting in the chair right next to you and listening to that two-hour visit, what would he have told that little girl? And that really... you know, it was that testimony that really opened my eyes and got me to thinking and digging in deeper. So, again, I don't want to take the time here. I'd love for you to share, Andrew, a little bit of your story, just so people that don't know you, because I didn't know you prior to about 6 or 10 months ago, share a little bit about your journey, and then we can maybe get into some of these principles of the spiritual realm.
Well, let me just put a little P.S. on that testimony you just gave. That girl's name is Hannah. And she just delivered her first child.
Wow.
And so she not only survived, she's now, I think, 20 years old, but she's got her own child. And her parents, man, they got turned on to the Lord because of that, and they went into ministry. They have their own ministry now.
Mm.
It's just wonderful to see how that one little testimony has totally changed everything.
Wow.
But then my life, I was raised in the Baptist church also in Arlington, Texas. And... I always believed in God. I got born again when I was 8 years old, but I didn't really, God wasn't a major factor in my life. It's very similar to what you were explaining, that the spiritual realm was not a big deal to me. I was living in the physical realm. I looked for a physical answer for everything. But on March the 23rd, 1968, I had an encounter with God that just turned my whole life upside down. And the things that you've been saying, Ben, are, I believe that this is why so many people just have chronic problems, because like you were saying, the doctors are treating the symptoms and they don't go to the root cause. Let me give just one real quick testimony, but about 30-something years ago, I was in Lima, Ohio, and there was a woman that had arthritis that was so bad that she was on a walker, and it took her, 5 minutes to walk 15 or 20 feet. She was barely able to get around. So she came up, and I prayed with her. She put that walker over her head and walked out on her own, nearly normal. Mm-hmm. And that was great. But the next night she came back and she was on the walker again. And she was as bad or worse than she was. And she said, why? By the time I got out to the car, she said all the pain was back. And so to what you were saying, Ben, there's reason why things happen. And I said, there's got to be a systemic problem here that we aren't dealing with. And so I said, let's just pray. And I mean, within seconds, the Lord showed me that she had hatred in her heart and she had not been forgiving someone. And immediately this woman began to cry, and it turned out this was back 30 or 40 years ago, and 30 years before that, way back before abortion, she had been engaged to a guy. He convinced her to have sex prior to marriage. She got pregnant, and when she became pregnant, he left. She had that baby, and she had hated this man for 30 or 40 years. And immediately, she knew what I was talking about. So we prayed, and we just forgave that guy and asked God to forgive her for holding that unforgiveness. And then I said, now I'll pray for you again that that healing would come. And she said, you don't need to. And she picked her walker up and walked off. And I was there another 3 or 4 days, and she was totally free the whole time. So that goes to what you were saying, Ben, that there's a lot of things beyond just the physical. There's spiritual, emotional, mental things that are going on inside of people, and our bodies react to it. And if you don't treat the root cause, it's just going to keep coming back.
Right. Well, one of the verses that really struck me, Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions or doctrines of man, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And that jumped out at me, because so much, you know, it's strange almost. Well, I mean, we live in the Bible Belt. I don't know if we're the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I mean,
yeah.
People know, I mean, people go to church, they talk about God, they love God, they're saved, but there's something, there's a ceiling, I mean, I call it just that religious spirit, I guess, but these doctrines of man where you almost can't even talk about, especially in certain circles, divine healing. Because, I mean, people, in my experience, throw up, well, why didn't so-and-so get healed? You know, we prayed, or they prayed, or they're a believer. And there's so many what-ifs and buts, but going back to the Word of God, what does it say? So how do you, what's your response to that when people say, well, but, and what if?
Well, my response is very similar to what you've been saying, that people have become, you know, 20 years ago we used to call it humanistic. Now they have all these other names. But people are only looking for a physical, natural reason for everything, and they forget that we are a spirit, soul, and body, and that the spiritual part of us is really the life-giving force. The Bible says in James 2:26 that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that shows that the spirit is actually the life-giving power inside of us. And to ignore spiritual things and just try and solve everything from a physical, natural perspective is totally missing what's going on. And there's a balance to this, and this is what you were saying at the beginning of the program, that yes, we do have physical things, and there are natural laws. So it's not one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where most people make their mistakes. They either get into, it's all just going to be spiritual, I'm just going to pray, and yet they sit on the couch, and they're 100 pounds overweight, and they aren't taking care of themselves. And I guarantee you, you're going to have problems. Or they get into just trying to find a holistic approach to dealing with everything and ignore the spiritual. But it's a combination of the two. We're spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
So we have to deal with the whole man, not just the physical or mental part of us.
Right. And I can definitely testify to, after 10 years and I don't know how many thousands of patients, and mostly, if not exclusively, in many of these patients, the focus was just on the natural. You know, change the diet, get out and move a little bit, and quit eating so much sugar, and you know, these basic things. And so many great things happened with symptoms when they just start to steward that physical. But I can say over the years, if that person only stays in the natural, or if they elevate a particular diet or regimen of some sort up onto this pedestal as basically their savior, long term it doesn't work. They end up coming back, their same symptoms return or new symptoms come. And so that's what's become more clear lately, is there's stewardship. You know, some knowledge has to be gained and some wisdom, and then steward that body. But you can't just steward the physical. There's this deeper level. So what's one of the, I don't know if you can say it's, you know, if you can classify it as 1, 2, or 3, but one of these spiritual principles that you see in your experience working with folks that impacts the natural realm?
Well, the thing that I teach primarily, I'm a minister and I have a television program in Bible College and things like that. But the thing that really turned my life around was when I understood who I was in the spirit, and that the spiritual man is beyond our ability to feel or see. You can't see your spirit. You can't feel it. And most people, if you can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, they don't believe that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are alive. And the word of God reveals to us who we are in the spirit. And so the real key in my life has been finding out that there is a new me. When I received Jesus as my Lord, I became a new person in the spirit, and that is the real me. And I've learned how to live by what the Bible says about me instead of what I feel and what I see. I don't deny what I feel and see. I'm three-part being, but I don't let what I feel dominate me. And real quickly, Ben, this will go way beyond, just positive thinking or anything like that. But on March the 4th, 2001, I got a call at 4:15 in the morning, and my oldest son called me and said, "Dad, I'm sorry to tell you this, but Peter, my youngest son, is dead." And I asked him what happened, and he told me, and I said, "Don't let anybody touch him until I get there." And we had to get up and drive an hour into town. We lived way out of town. And anyway, it's a long story, but my wife and I just prayed and agreed. And when we got in there, my son had already been dead for nearly 5 hours. He was stripped naked. He was on a slab in a morgue in a cooler. They had already put a toe tag on him. And when they called and told me about this, we prayed and believed, and my son sat up and started talking. Mm-hmm. And now I have a 21-year-old granddaughter. And he's working for me, and he's healthy and smart, and it just defies logic. There is a spiritual realm that is real, and we ignore it to our own detriment.
Yes, we do. And, I mean, we're trained to ignore it, actually, in our culture, our Western way of thinking. We got to take a break real quick. Andrew, I want to mention, guys, I forgot to mention at the top, if you're not sure about spiritual realm, Darwin being wrong, right, whatever, there's this doubt and unbelief in you. There was doubt and unbelief in me. And I did a 10-part video series, or about 10 minutes each, Why I Believe. And it's basically my journey from the natural realm only, intellectualism and the religion of scientism. Just from an archaeological perspective, from a quantum physics perspective, from a design perspective, I go through all these. If you need evidence to at least get a little crack in your mind of, man, maybe there's a possibility there's something besides. So there's a whole lot of evidence out there. Just one tiny piece on the Bible. I mean, these 66 books written over, a couple thousand years and 40 different authors, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, and it tells one continuous story. But there's a Professor Stoner. He was out in California, and this was in the 50s, I think. And he did a mathematical equation of, because in one of these books, Isaiah, written about 800 years before Jesus Christ came along, there are all these predictions. There's this guy that's going to come along, and this, and this, he's going to do all these things. And so Stoner did a mathematical calculation. It was something like 1 times 10 to the 158th power odds, basically infinity, that some guy's randomly going to come along and fulfill all these things. This isn't random. And so I've put all those. I go through Darwin. I go through the whole thing in that 10-part series, Why I Believe. It's on our website, veritasmedical.com, under the video section. So I encourage you to look through that. And then just pray and ask God, if you're real, I want to know it. I want to know you, and He will draw you. If you're earnestly seeking, I know He will find you and meet you there. So for those that aren't sure about God and sure about the spiritual stuff, I encourage you to consider starting there. And, of course, Andrew Womack's got an amazing website full of great resources. AWMI.net. Is that the best place to find you, Andrew?
Yes, sir. That's great.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back with Andrew Womack talking about the spiritual impact on our physical and how to stay well. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. Stick with us.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. Also, archived programs, as I said, right there, VeritasMedical.com.
All right, everybody, we are back with Andrew Womack, Andrew Womack Ministries, the website AWM, as in mother, I.net. Over 200,000 hours of resources there that you can listen or watch, listen to and watch. And some of those are testimonials, over 50 different testimonials. I mentioned Hannah, the little girl that couldn't eat anything. And then her first meal after being healed was Kentucky Fried Chicken. And Hannah just had her own baby recently. Andrew just told us earlier. So check out his website, awmi.net. Andrew Womack and his team have done amazing work to bring a lot of resources to you. And testimonies, that's what I wanted to talk about. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Testimonies are huge, they're powerful. I think that's how I first got started. When I got fired from my conventional medicine job and I told them, hey, I've learned some stuff where it will resolve disease instead of manage it, that didn't fit the business model too well. And so God took me out of that and just opened up my own place and got a desk and a chair, two chairs and a laptop, and waited for people to show up. And they started coming, and more came, mostly based off the testimony when people got better. So I encourage y'all to go on that, on Andrew's website, and read those testimonies, listen to those testimonies. It'll be very impactful for you. And it kind of leads me into this next section on the interview here. I want to get Andrew's comments on when people hear like your son being raised from the dead, and there's other testimonies of people raised from the dead, these miraculous healings, multiple sclerosis being healed, cancer being healed just in a moment, and conventional medicine we call it spontaneous remission. So a lot of folks, religious people even, would just say, well, that was a miracle. God can still do miracles. He's sovereign and in control of the whole universe, created everything. He can reach down, pluck down, and touch somebody and just miraculously heal them, which I believe, and that's definitely possible. But also, could it be that there are some spiritual laws in place, like in the physical I mentioned earlier in the show, law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics, and these physical laws? Are there spiritual laws that if you understood them, would it set you up for healing or allow that miraculous healing or keep you well, keep you from needing healed because you're walking in that truth, these deeper truths in the spiritual realm? So, Andrew, I want to get you to comment on that. Miraculous, one time God suspend his laws and just, boom, miraculously heal somebody versus, no, there's principles in the kingdom, in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm, that if you abide by or live by, there's consequences, the law of sowing and reaping, and there's these consequences. Could you kind of give us your point of view on those, that line of thinking?
Yes, sir. You hit on the real key. I believe anybody who believes in God, if you believe that there is a God, a supreme being, he can do anything. So they have to accept that miracles could happen. But most people don't believe that they have any control over that whatsoever. But it's like what you said, Ben, there are spiritual laws. And when you put those laws into effect, the supernatural power of God flows just like electricity. There are laws that govern that. Electricity has been on the earth since day one, but people didn't know how to use it. Now we've harnessed it. And when you go over there and flip the switch, you are putting the natural laws into effect. You can do the same thing in the spiritual realm and put spiritual laws into effect. And real quickly, without me giving a sermon here, Mark chapter 5 shows the woman who came behind Jesus and said, "If I can touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." And she got healed, and Jesus, he felt power, virtue go out of him, but he didn't know who touched him. Now, to me, that shows you that it's not a case-by-case individual decision by the Lord saying, well, you're worthy, and I'm going to heal you, and this other person, no, you aren't worthy, and I won't heal you. There are just laws that govern how his power flows. And when this woman put those laws into effect, the power of God just flowed, just like electricity. And so some of those laws, I've got hundreds. That's probably an exaggeration. I've got dozens, maybe up to 100 things that God has shown me of that control how God's power flows. But one of them in that story that is so obvious is that this woman said, if I can touch his clothes. And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what we say is very important. And Jesus repeated this in Mark chapter 11 when he said, whosoever will say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say comes to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. And so most people don't understand this, and they just speak forth their fears, their doubts. But words are important. That's what created the heavens and the earth, is words. God spoke everything into existence, and everything will respond to words. And Ben, you even mentioned earlier, you just made a passing reference about quantum physics, and I'm not an intellectual by any chance, but I have read a little bit, and they are coming up with some of these same things about how that the natural realm responds to words. And so that's a very important part of seeing God's power released, is beginning to start speaking forth your faith instead of speaking forth your fears and your unbelief. And there's just many, many other laws that govern all that.
Yeah. And that just reminds me, on that 10-part series, guys, that I mentioned earlier, Why I Believe, it's on our website. One of those is about water in the body, and Professor Emoto out in Japan took these pictures of water that were exposed to different words, spoken words, and even written words, and it changed the molecular composition, the structure of the water. It changed shape. And that's a purely physical, secular, I don't know Dr. Emoto or his beliefs, but just looking at God's creation, how that spoken word impacts the structure of the water. And remember, your water, in intracellular water, which holds your DNA is floating in water, your mitochondria floating in water, all your cellular apparatuses are floating in water, and that water holds memory, and that water changes structure based off your thinking and your spoken word. So we can connect these dots, and like Andrew said, quantum physics is connecting them more and more and more. Now, my wife would say, I don't need all that. I get pretty fired up when I read all these cool things that prove God's word, and she lets me go off on my little tangents and rants and raves, but Ben, just believe. You don't need all that evidence.
Yeah.
So some people don't need that.
There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11, and this is a radical passage of scripture. Most people would not believe this is in the Bible, but it's Isaiah 45:11, and it says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. And you could take that. Some people think, well, what are you saying? You can tell God, you can command him what to do. It's not like that at all, but it's understanding laws. Just like when you go flip a switch and turn on lights, you are commanding that electricity. It's at your command. It's not that you're the source. It's not that you have power. You could take a light bulb and put it in your mouth, and it'll never light up. You aren't the source. But that power has been placed at your command. And you could call the electric company and say, we've got people coming over and we need the electricity. Well, they deliver it. They generate it and deliver it. But it's at your command. They aren't going to come turn it on for you. And it's the same principle with God. God has generated this power through Jesus. He has placed on the inside of every person who will accept him the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is what it said in Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19. But it's at our command. And if we don't begin to speak it and act in faith, another law of God is faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. And so if we don't act in agreement with what we say we're believing, that short circuits that power. So there are these natural laws that we have to put in place.
Yeah.
And, real quickly, a friend of mine, he held a ministry in Nigeria. He was a white man, and he was in Nigeria. He held a service, and he saw great miracles the very first night. The next day, he was walking through the marketplace in one of these Nigerian towns, and he was the only white guy around. They recognized him as being the evangelist from the night before, and they came up and started wanting to touch him. And his first thought was to say, "It's not me. It's not me. It's Jesus that did it." And, of course, that's absolutely true. But before he could say anything to the people, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, "Dave, what would you have thought when I rode into Jerusalem on that donkey and they put palm branches in the way and threw their clothes on the ground and were saying, 'Hosanna,' what would you have thought if that donkey had said, 'It's not me, it's not me'?" He said nobody was praising the donkey. They're praising the one that was riding on the donkey. And he said, likewise, they aren't thinking that you're the source, but they see this power of God in you. And it totally changed his mindset. And I think sometimes our religious traditions and false humility get in the way, and we think that we have nothing, we can do nothing. Well, certainly I can't heal a gnat on my own, but I have God's healing power in me, and it's at my command, and I have to put those laws into practice to see them work.
Yeah, and that reminds me, Andrew, of this understanding that I didn't get growing up in church. And again, not dogging church, but I didn't know the authority thing. And I just want to run through this real quick, because what you're touching on, this power, the source of the power, versus, you know, we have the ability, not only ability, we've been commanded to go flip the switch on here in the earth. So going all the way back in Genesis, God created everything, and you know, the land, air, and the water, he gave dominion over all that, over everything. He gave it to man. So he created this natural realm that interacts in the spiritual realm, gave it to man to take dominion over, and then man decides to give it up to Satan, gets deceived in his free will, gives it up, and then Satan, who's called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians, Satan comes to Jesus after 40 days in the wilderness and says, "Hey, come up to this mountaintop. I'll show you all these kingdoms of the world. That I'll give you authority over these things if you'll bow down to me." This authority was given to me, and I can give it to you, Jesus. Of course, Jesus answered him with the truth, and he went and got that authority righteously, the way God intended. So Jesus comes, takes that authority back, has all authority in heaven and earth. And then Jesus says, "Now I got to get out of here, because if I go, then I can send the Holy Spirit back, and he will live in you." And it's like, now there's a million little Jesuses walking around, and you know, religiously I would grew up thinking I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, and that false humility thing, and not understand, no, I'm a son of God. This whole thing about sonship is huge, and the authority that a son has, and not only authority, but we're supposed to be. Jesus said, "I got to get out here so you can go do all these great works I did, but greater works than these you're going to do too." And it's when you said that light switch thing in the power company, the power is coming from God, and it's the Holy Spirit in us, but it's like, it's our job. We're supposed to be walking around here enforcing what Jesus has already paid for.
Amen.
It's a done deal.
You know, in Matthew chapter 10, it says he gave us authority over all sickness, all diseases, and over all demons to cast them out. And then in verse 8, he said, "You heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead." Now again, religion will make people think, well, are you saying that you have this power? It's not me that has the power. It's God's power, but it's in me. It flows through me. Mm-hmm. And if people are just praying and saying, "Oh God, would you heal this person?" It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And I've got so many testimonies of this. I don't know how much time we have, but man, I've seen people that were just given up by the medical profession, and they get hold of their authority, and it produces great miraculous healings.
Yeah. Well, the part you didn't mention on that woman with the issue of blood touching Jesus's the hem of his garment is she said she'd spent all her money on all these doctors. And that hit me the other day, too. Man, Jesus already paid for all this. Why all these people spend all this money, including at my clinic, trying to get doctors to heal them. One other thing I want you to comment on regarding this authority thing, and actually I think I read this in your book. Andrew's got a great book. He's got many great books, but Body, Soul, and Spirit is awesome, and we actually sell that at our little grocery, or the Merc, our store downtown, so y'all check that out or go on Andrew's website, Body, Soul, and Spirit. But in there, it was that verse in Matthew where Jesus asked the disciples, "Hey, who do these men say I am?" And some say John the Baptist, some say you're, Jeremiah or whoever. And then Jesus says, "Okay, Peter, who do you say I am?" And he says, "You're the Son of God, that you're the Messiah." And Jesus says, "Well, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. My Father in heaven told you this." And just a few verses later, when Jesus is telling them, "Hey, I got to go to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, I'll be raised from the dead in 3 days," and Peter says, "Oh, heck no, we're not going to let that happen." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And just in those few short verses, it shows you can have a thought that's just, from man, from your own mind, or a thought from the Holy Spirit through your spirit, versus a thought in your soul from the enemy influencing your thinking. So there's this realm, a spiritual realm, but the soul versus spirit, that's a whole nother show, a whole nother topic. But I wanted to touch on that here because it's really important to differentiate. There is this, our battle's not flesh and blood. It's these spiritual forces, evil in the heavenly realms. And there's this, adversary to God that's not the truth. He's a liar, and he's going to put those lies out there to see if we'll take them, but it's through our soul. So I encourage y'all to get that. But where I was going with this, Andrew, I want to get your comment on, because it was right after that. Jesus says, "All right, I'm giving you the keys," plural, "to heaven." And that's where he says, "What you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven." So back to the authority thing. God set up the earth, gave man dominion over it. We gave it up. Jesus brought it, got it back for us. And then he left, sent the Holy Spirit so we could walk in authority. And now it's like, okay, guys, this is yours. The earth is yours, because it says the heavens are God's, the earth is man's. Now you've got this authority through the Holy Spirit. You bind on earth, and I'll bind it in heaven. You loose it on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. People are sitting down here going, "God, why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let this bad thing happen, that bad thing happen?" And I think God's sitting up there going, why'd you let this happen? I gave you authority to bind and loose. So on comments on that whole passage in Scripture.
Yeah, well, I just happen to have written a book entitled The Believer's Authority, and the subtitle of the book is What You Didn't Learn in Church. Very few Christians understand the authority that God has given us, but you could go to the third chapter of the book of Acts, and you see Peter and John going into the temple at the hour of prayer, and they saw a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. He was 38 years old, had never walked, and they walked up to him, and he was a beggar, and they said, "I don't have any money, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they reached down and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. They never prayed a prayer. They never asked God to heal him. They said, "Such as I have." Now again, Ben, I hope all of the listeners understand, I am not saying that you or I are the source of this power, but we have this power. If any person who gets born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you become a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Your body doesn't change instantly. Your mind doesn't change. But in the spirit, you change instantly, and you have resurrection power in you, the same power that indwells Jesus. And just like Peter and John said, they said, "Such as I have, give I unto thee." And they just reached down and grabbed him. Never even prayed a prayer.
Yep.
Didn't ask God.
Yep.
And yet most Christians today approach God as, "Oh God, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, but we know that you can do it." And then they come as a beggar, begging him to do it instead of taking their authority. And that's where I think most people are missing their healing. It's because they're just waiting on God, and God's waiting on them to take their power and authority and use it.
Yeah. We've got about 5 more minutes, Andrew, and I'm just trying to put myself in the listener's shoes here, hearing all this. One question that might pop up, I know pops up, is, well then, how could this be? Because I don't see any of this happening around here. I go to church every week, or I pray, I do this, I do that. What is keeping the body of Christ so sick and so bound up in disease?
Well, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And Ben, I know that you see this, and I see it too, that as we teach these things, we see people that come in sick, and they go out a different way. The truth sets them free is what Jesus said in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But it's only the truth you know that makes you free. What we don't know is killing us. And Ben, I know you see this in your practice with people not understanding, you were mentioning being hydrated, doing some exercise, and doing some of the natural things. and they're just violating natural laws. Well, likewise, they violate spiritual laws, and they are laws. They work. And if you don't cooperate with them, they'll work against you instead of for you. And that's why it's not happening. It's because of people not telling these truths.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And folks, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, we had a testimony last week on the show, Madon Wingo, and it was part one. Part two, obviously, is not this week because we had Andrew scheduled, but part two will be next week, and you'll get to hear the rest of her testimony and her divine healing. And it pairs perfectly. This was great timing, actually, to split those two parts with Andrew right here in the middle, because he's explaining, you know, how these things work. So, Andrew, if someone, if they're totally, this is all new to them, maybe they just thought they were sinners saved by grace, or maybe they're not a believer at all, but now they're curious and they're wanting to learn more, and you've got 200,000 hours of teachings. Where's a good place? Well, how would you suggest people would start as far as gaining the knowledge so that they're not being destroyed from the resources you have?
Let me say that those are 200,000 hours of free teaching. I have a bunch of other things that we do charge something for, but we've got so much material from not only me, but my Bible college teachers and instructors. And if you listen 24 hours a day, it would take you 22 years to go through the free materials that we have. And we just have a wealth of stuff. Like you were mentioning, Ben, we have testimonies, video testimonies, of people before and after their healing. And I mean, people that, it's just totally miraculous. There is no other explanation. We got one guy that actually had a tumor on his chest, and he took pictures of it, and the thing had tentacles that ran throughout his whole chest, and it was terrible looking. And within 6 months period of time of him getting hold of the truth, he was completely healed without any medical treatments whatsoever. So there's a lot of things there that can build their faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've got just a wealth of Scripture that will build people's faith in this area.
Yeah. What's really helped me, for sure, in that verse in Proverbs 4:20 through 23, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. And that word healing in the Greek is medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And that is so true. Just that, those three verses right there, keeping this word, the truth, in front of you, in your eyeballs, in your ears. Amen. And so, I mean, that I utilize Andrew's resources all the time when I'm driving and coming and going, and or downtime, or I've learned to turn off a lot of stuff, especially lately. And guys, I know the whole sudden death, this shot, COVID, World Economic Forum, WHO, I mean, all that. That's the world, and the enemy, the ruler of this world, is just unleashed right now. He's been unleashed for a long time, but it's like the restrainer's been removed. And it's if you let yourself, if you put all that in front of your eyes constantly, I wouldn't expect health. So be careful with what you're reading, what you're watching. I'm not saying necessarily completely tune out, unless you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to fast from all that completely, go, of course, go right ahead. But put this in 22, it'd take 22 years, 24/7 on Andrew's website, though, so there's plenty there, and I highly recommend it, highly endorse it. So, Andrew, thank you for all you're doing, for what your team's doing. Please give a big thanks to all of them. I know it takes a team to do all y'all do, so appreciate it. You're impacting a lot of lives, especially right down here in Lubbock, Texas.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for what you're doing. It sounds like it's awesome.
Well, thank you, by the grace of God. All right, everybody, that was Andrew Womack. His website, one more time, awmi.net. Get on there and just listen and watch and let the Spirit lead you through it. Like I said, I highly recommend Body, Soul, Spirit. That's just a teaching that I didn't get growing up, and that was profound. That really set me on a course when I learned about that. So get on there and just start studying. Get that word in front of you. We'll be back next week with Madon Wingo's part two on her testimony. Wade, thank you for the airwaves to be able to spread the truth.
You bet. Appreciate that. Of course, thank you, Mr. Womack, for being with us on the show. You have a wonderful rest of your week as well.
I'll do it. Thank you.
You bet. And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at Veritas Medical.